Good morning. As we prepare to worship our Lord this morning, let's join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. I want each of you to look around you this morning. Go ahead, turn around, look around. If you see anybody that you don't know, now before the service is over with today, I want you to walk up to them and greet them. During the passing of the peace today will be a perfect time for that. So just make note of somebody that you saw that you don't know and make sure that you speak to them before the day's over with. If you are a visitor visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that you are certainly welcome here at Main Street, and we hope that you will come back to visit us very often. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And if you will give us your address and phone number on the attendance pads, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down the pews, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance on those pads. Several things going on in the life of the church this week. Wednesday night will be a wrap-up of the July family nights. It will be milk and honey cooking school, and Vicki Chandler says they're going to eat your way through the Bible, so I'm sure all of us would love to do that. This Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, please call the church office and make reservations, since they will need to know how many will be present for that. Also, a reminder of the Main Street Arts Camp that will be held August 6th through August 10th, and that is for children K-5 through 5th grade. It will be from 9 o'clock a.m. to 12 noon on each of those days. Enrollment is limited. We do have a limited number of slots available for that. The fee for the week is $15, and the deadline for registration is July the 30th. So if you have a child that would like to attend that, you need to go ahead and contact the church office while there still are slots available prior to July the 30th. Now let us, I've got one more message here in my pocket. Next Sunday in the fellowship hall, immediately following worship, will be the last minute fundraising yard sale. And that will be to raise funds for the mission trip to Nicaragua. Glenn and Allie Williams and Caroline Dennis will be traveling to Nicaragua 2 weeks from yesterday, I think it was. And they will be having a yard sale in the fellowship hall immediately following the service. If any of you have any items that you would like to get rid of, they would be more than happy to take those and sell those in the yard sale. Again, all of the funds going for their mission trip to Nicaragua. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. In this hour, may we come to worship God with honesty. Looking deep inside ourselves to discover what is destructive within. In this hour, we come to worship God with honesty.
Seated and join me in the invocation. We come to you, O God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We seek to magnify you and praise you as we ought. We want to see Jesus, in whom all of your fullness dwells. We invoke your presence with us. You are the giver of all we have, and our hope for now and hereafter. May the memory of your goodness and love you lavish upon us through Jesus Christ fill our hearts with true gratitude and joy as we worship today. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, we have several new concerns, those listed in your bulletin. Bill Sandel has been in the hospital for at least a week or more, and I believe remains there. Mallory Rice, that's Footsie and Eleanor Rice's granddaughter, was in the hospital, and I do think got home on Friday. I believe that is right. Preston Hodge, G. Poe's great-grandson, and Andrew's grandson, had some serious back surgery this past week, which we believe was successful, but a long recovery time. Dorothy Schlesing will have surgery next week. Pauline Wilson and Patsy Brown both have problems and fractured pelvis. Flossie McMahon passed away this past week. The late Bruce McMahon, say that properly, widow, and Verda Watley's sister, her funeral was this past week. And many of you have heard that one of our young members, Drake Anderson, was killed in a car wreck just yesterday. There will be a special candlelight service at the high school tonight at 8 o'clock, and the actual funeral has not yet been announced. Let us lift our prayer concerns, our thanksgivings together to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, in what many feel is a strange time, we come before you doing a strange thing, praying. Praying, believing that you hear, you care, and will work things together for the good. Lord, there are many grieving among us, asking questions, why? And yet we know our days are limited, and we know not how many days we have. Help us make good use of the time and take nothing and no one for granted. Let us not waste a second on bitterness or trivialities or old regrets we cannot change. And Lord, heal our past and birth within us a new confidence and trust and future. Lord, we pray also the prayers of our hearts for one another and for special concerns we lift only before you. For those who have doubts, we pray trust and faith. For those who have old wounds, we pray healing and wholeness. For those who have broken relationships, we pray enough love, forgiveness, and grace to bring about unity and new relationships, new hope and light. And Lord, for this church, we pray unity and growth and a forward-looking vision and a goal of making disciples, not just as a motto on paper, but as a marching order for our reason for existing. Lord, be with us and fill us and guide us by your Spirit to do your will and to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, we now pray the prayers of our hearts as we lift them up in silence before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I invite the children down front now for the children's time today with Peggy Ackerman.
Good morning. I want to get right in the middle of y'all. I have a wonderful story for you today. Y'all come on around. Come on up closer.
Is that good?
That's great.
Is it good?
That's good. That's even better. I want to tell you the story of a little boy named Bubba. When Bubba was about 3 years old, many, many years ago, there was a grocery store in Greenwood. I bet your mom and dads remember it. The name of that grocery store was Big Star. It's not here anymore. But this mommy took her little boy, Bubba, to the grocery store one day. Bubba's a boy name. Well, that's okay. I guess we can have girl and boy Bubbas. Well, I'll tell you what this Bubba did. He went to the grocery store with his mom. And back in those days, they used to have all the candy laid out in a big circle in one aisle. And it was piece by piece. Bubba and his mom were doing the grocery shopping. And Bubba liked the looks of that candy. And when we got out to the car after we bought all our groceries, Bubba had stuffed some candy in his socks. Do you know what his mommy did? She didn't like what he did, but she loved Bubba. She loved Bubba so much, she did something even better than spanking him. She took him back into that Big Star grocery store, and she made him give the candy back to the store owner or the manager and tell him he was sorry. Well, that manager said, "I forgive you." Not only did his mommy forgive him and that store manager forgive him, guess who else forgave him? You're right, God did. Just like he forgives you and me and everybody out there for anything that they ask forgiveness for. That's a big word, but it's important that we know it. When you do something wrong and you know you've done wrong, ask God to forgive you. And no matter how many times, he'll always do it. Can we say a prayer? Dear God, we thank you for forgiveness. We love being your children. Amen.
Peggy's story reminded me of one from my family. As we sit around, and my father, many of you have asked, is in hospice house in Spartanburg. We sit around as he is sleeping much of the time, and we share stories. And my brother, youngest brother, who's 40 years old now, once when he was 4, stole a candy bar. My mother made him go apologize, take the candy bar back. The very next time they went to the dime store, he walked up to the manager, opened his coat, and said, "I'm clean." It's fun to be reminded of some of those stories. Well, because of God's grace, we're clean. Let us pass the peace.
Reading for today from the Old Testament comes to us from the book of Amos. Amos was one of the 8th century prophets. God spoke to him in visions, and I think if I give a little bit of explanation, we will understand better the vision that we'll read about. It is based upon a pun in the Hebrew language, but when it's translated into the English language, we lose the pun. The Hebrew word for summer fruit and the Hebrew word for the end are very much alike, and that is the pun, but we don't get it in English. But here is the word of God from the book of Amos, the 8th chapter, the first through the 12th verses, and we will, in your pew Bible, it is 1048 page. "This is what the Lord God showed me. A basket of summer fruit. He said, "Amos, what do you see?" I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then the Lord said to me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temples shall become warnings in their day. The dead bodies shall be many. They shall be cast out in every place. Be silent." Then Amos says, "Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain and of the Sabbath? When will it be over so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, 'Surely I will never forget any of their deeds.' Shall not the land trouble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it? All of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is coming, says the Lord God, and I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The New Testament lesson for this day comes to us from the letter to the Colossians. If you want to follow in your pew Bible, it's on page 244. I will be reading Colossians, the first chapter, 15th through the 28th verses. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He is himself before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and doing evil deeds are now reconciled in the fleshly body of Christ through death, so as to present your body holy and blameless and irreproachable before Christ, provided that you continue securely to establish and remain steadfast in the faith without shifting from hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became the servant of the gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. I became the servant of God according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to God's saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he, Christ, whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before our offering, I wanted to make just an announcement. We spoke last week of that being the last minute before our balloon payment in July. We were able to collect some generous donations at the very last minute. And in February, we did pay a principal payment of $275,000. We made it. The July payment started out at $425,000, and we paid approximately $350,000 of that, so about 80% of it. We were $77,000 short, but that will be put onto the end of the loan. The bank is not going to repossess our building or add a drive-through in our building, as someone suggested, but we did come very close, and we've erased that much principal, which means all future interest payments monthly will be lower, and we are chipping away at the debt. There will be no more years in this debt where there are two large balloons in the same year. Thank goodness. The next balloon payment is in July of next year, so we have some time to recover and handle that later. But I thank you for your generosity, for your hard work, and for those last-minute donations that helped us get as close as we did. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thank you.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and enough for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 38. Hear now God's word. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, there is an old joke that I have told before, but it is a little bit funny and it's a little bit, that makes a point. It seems that one late night, a young pastor was in his church office working on his sermon, and he looked out the window and he saw Jesus looking in. He was startled. He didn't know what to do. And so he called his district superintendent. That's our chain of command. He said, "Listen, Jesus is looking into the window. What should I do?" And the district superintendent was not certain. So she said, "Call the bishop's office." And so he did. He said, "Bishop, Jesus is looking in my window. What should I do?" And the wise bishop thought for just a moment and finally said, "Look busy." Look busy. We live in a culture where we think our life is not meaningful unless we are doing something. And what do we do at a social gathering when you're meeting people and you haven't, just for the first time? One of the first questions we ask when we meet someone is not, "How are you doing?" but "What do you do?" After we find out what they do, we know whether they are important enough to spend time with. While Mary was listening, Martha was doing. Of course, there are two parts of faith, the hearing and then the doing. So often we come here to church and we hear and then we leave as if the act of hearing is the act of faith. But we go home and we do what we have always done, unchanged. Jesus spoke to that. He said in Matthew 7th chapter, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do." And he once asked in frustration, I think with a certain irony in the Gospel of Luke, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I tell you?" And again in Luke, "Anyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a man who built his house without laying a foundation. And when the flood hit that house, it fell at once, and it was a terrible crash." Yes, we are called to be busy, but first we should be absolutely certain that we have heard. We must stop and listen and hear first, and then go about God's business in whatever ways we are talented and equipped and able to do. Now, Main Street, as a congregation, is just now catching its breath from a storm of doing and building and constructing and paying for new renovations and new growth. And now, through the natural church development program, the surveys that we've given to you, a good cross-section of the congregation, and we are through that, backing up a little bit, backing up and listening. Listening to what we should do with all the space and all the talent that we have in this church family. We cannot, as some have said, back up and listen before we acted. We've already acted. But we can and we will listen to the survey results we get this afternoon at 4 o'clock. If you're on the NCD health team, weed and seed team, I have called it today at 4 o'clock. We need you in the Trinity classroom. When we see those results, we will act differently from here on out. doing and listening work together when serving God and growing our faith and growing a congregation and growing programs and outreach. If we do not have an agreed upon every member reason for existence, every member overarching mission statement, which is more than words on a paper, but words that guide our every action. If we do not stop and listen and plan from what we hear, then we are merely doing busy work. Busy work. Not living the life of faith we were called to. Starting this afternoon, when we get our survey results, we will begin the process of listening to how you have heard God speak and what you have heard as a roadmap forward from here. No more spinning our wheels. No more doing for the sake of doing. That is worldly wisdom. But Jesus praises not the frantic doing, but the listening and the learning and then growing from there. The story of Martha and Mary is not a contrast between sitting and serving. It is meant to point out the difference between hearing the word and incorporating that word into your life plan, on the one hand, and the superficial, anxious doing for the sake of doing, without even asking, is this what God wants me to do? On the other hand, Martha's resentment. And by the way, if you resent everything you do in the church, sit down. Stop doing it. You are doing what you want to do and not what God called you to do if you resent it. If you complain to everyone who will listen about how much you do more than others, then you are on a self-assignment. And maybe, just maybe, the complaining is your reward. If you resent it and get no sense of fulfillment from it, please stop it. Sit down and pray and listen and find out what you ought to be doing that does not engender resentment and spin off complaints. I know a certain mother, and I said this morning, I'll say again, this is not Caroline, the mother of my children. This is definitely not her. But I know a certain mother who always sits sideways in her chair at mealtime, always poised for action, always inviting people over and ready to jump up if she's forgotten something in the kitchen, or jump up if somebody wants steak sauce instead of ketchup, or jump up if it's time to pass the serving dishes around again. She never relaxes. Never. Never relaxes enough to enjoy the food or the company. And then she complains to us when we're there about the others she feeds, and probably complains about us to the others when we're not there. That's not living, and that's not hospitality. That is self-serving, unasked for, unnecessary martyrdom. Martha's resentment came from that sort of attitude, I believe. It goes beyond having too much work to do. She sees Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and would like a moment with him as well. If Mary would just help, maybe Martha would have some time to talk with him. And furthermore, Mary's presumptuous posture embarrasses Martha and brings shame on the household. In that day, in that time, it was not proper for a woman to sit at the teacher's feet as a man would. It was just considered not done. But Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet, and Martha calls Jesus in verse 40, Lord. And it's interesting, that's respectful. She says, Lord, but in the same breath, she rebukes him and gives him an order. Did you catch that? She calls him Lord, but she rebukes him and then gives him an order. Said, do you not care that I'm doing all the work and Mary's not helping? Tell her then to help me. Hardly a respectful tone that one addresses using when you're speaking to the Lord. Martha is focused on her own agenda, and she's asking Jesus to align himself with her agenda and that Mary also be aligned with her agenda. She's not listening to what God would have her do. She is doing and doing and demanding that everyone else notice that she is doing and that they too get with her version of the plan. There is a deliberate contrast in this scripture here. Martha, who tells Jesus what he must say, and Mary, who sits quietly and listens to what Jesus is saying. Is your, and this is the question for us as we look at this text, where does it hit us? Is your faith life, is your church life, is your stewardship and time and talents, is it about self-directed spinning your wheels or prayerful listening first and then doing what God has called and equipped each of you to do? And there's a quick test for that. It's not very hard. If you begrudge it, it was your idea. If you gain fulfillment and peace from it, then it is an assignment from God. Martha rebukes Mary and orders Jesus to order her to help doing her self-directed busy work. And Jesus repeats Martha's name as a gentle rebuke. He says, "Martha, Martha." He notes her distraction rather than her hospitality. Certainly, he welcomes the food. And I have heard many, 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 usually women on the way out after I preach a sermon like this say, "Well, now, it'd be a fine, you know, household if nobody cooked the food and nobody did the dishes." Well, I know Jesus did enjoy the food, but he welcomed the discipleship at this point in his ministry even more. We need to remember when this was. Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem and to the cross. And this was his final visit in Luke's gospel to the home of these dear friends, Mary and Martha. Martha's busyness and her self-importance distanced her from Jesus. It's a matter of priorities and timing. Jesus knows what awaits him in Jerusalem, and he needs good friends now more than he needs good food. It could be that Martha may have allowed herself to be distracted in part as an escape from Jesus' uncomfortable teachings. See, Jesus had already begun to tell his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and die there. And Martha may have heard Jesus say these things and have fled to the kitchen as an escape, pretending that that was the most important thing in the world, when the truth was, in that moment, it was mere busy work. Anxious, self-directed distraction instead of listening to what comes next. Of course, domestic things have to be done, but in that moment, more important things were going on. The text said she was distracted, doing and anxious, doing unnecessary things. We too are busy about many things. We too are troubled and distracted, and too often we just do things, not knowing why or even thinking through what happens next, or more importantly, what happens after what happens next, thinking two steps down the road. We are a quick fix society. We are an anxious society. As if there are quick fixes to complex problems. There aren't. And politicians often take advantage of our anxieties and of our desire to see something done, and so they do something without thinking what happens when that something is done. We see on bumper stickers sometimes, "Don't just stand there, do something." Well, Jesus appears to be saying the opposite. Don't just do something. First, stand there or sit there and pray and listen to Jesus' teaching and find out what it is best to do. Church, families, and all other dysfunctional organizations, because there are no other kind, church families tend to do what they have always done. Even when it doesn't work, at least it's familiar. In my house, we call that folding paper bags. Folding paper bags. Nervous energy when something is called for and all we know how to do is what we've always done. So we sit there and fold paper bags in case in the middle of the crisis somebody needs a paper bag. Wouldn't it be better to have a plan and to understand the issue and to know the end goal before you start. Martha may indeed have heard that Jesus was going to the cross and escaped to the kitchen to fold paper bags, to clean and to cook, and to pretend that doing the same old things would somehow work and somehow make it come out better. We have our results from the survey today about our weakest spot and our program, our minimum factor, our speed bump to growth. All will be revealed this afternoon, and the entire Main Street congregation will be fully informed as we change things and as we attack, that's a strong word, attack the weakness with a plan and a real goal of focused, faithful discipleship. We will endeavor not to do what Martha did and just fold paper bags and spin our wheels, burning nervous energy and nothing else. We will have the option, and we will take it, of changing our focus to problem solving and faithful growth. Many, many people would rather go on folding paper bags and busy work rather than look at themselves and the church and change. And many even push the attitude, well, it's all up to God anyway. So let's leave it alone and leave it up to God. We can eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, that's in the Bible too, but not a positive thing. If God is going to do what God will do, then what are we bothering about? We just come to church an hour or so a week, and then we distract ourselves at home with TVs and ATVs and jet skis and live until we die. God will sort it out later. What could I do anyway? Martha, Martha, what is the one thing that is necessary? Maybe God really does exist and is real and has something to say, and something we can know by faith and make a difference in our lives so that our lives look different as we have a different goal after having listened and heard what God would have us do. Maybe. Or we could just fold paper bags and burn off nervous energy, endlessly entertaining ourselves and each other until we're finished. But I believe that Jesus taught that there's more to life than what we see and what we do between birth and death. There is something else. There is a higher calling. Just as each heart has always suspected, God gives us that suspicion there's something more. There is something higher and better and real that we can be doing. God has spoken to us. Through Jesus, there is a way back into relationship. We need not be broken off from God or each other. There is a better goal than serving self, a better end to life than entertain yourself until you die. This is your one life. It's not a dress rehearsal. It is your one life. Make sure that you have heard God's plan before you go off doing and complaining and then bragging about how busy you are. Maybe we should listen before we do. Listen to God. Take time in prayer and study and His Word. Listen to Jesus' teaching, to God's Spirit speaking in our hearts and saying, this way now. This is the way I want you to go. Let us pray. Lord, by your Spirit, guide us. By your Son's teaching, inform us. And by your love and grace, empower us to be more perfectly your people. To not sit down satisfied at any one point in our faith or any one point in the life of this church, but to always be on the move, to always have our hand to our ear to listen. And to hear where you are calling us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. will ask you to please be seated, and I'll ask to come forward Evelyn Rambo and Bill Clifton, who are joining today by transfer and reaffirmation of faith. Please bring a hymnal with you, or I have hymnals here, and ask the entire congregation to turn to page 46. Take off your stand right here in front. And Tommy, you can come over here and stand with your mother. Evelyn will wait on you. Some of you wondered when we had the Christian comedian come, you know, why are we doing this? Well, we found out why. Bill Clifton came that night, and now he's come to join. So you never know what door people will come in and then stay. And we welcome you and transfer from Memorial United Methodist Church in Charlotte. And Evelyn, who's been with us in body, is coming to us officially today from Independence United Methodist in Tignall, Georgia. And I'm going to ask you on page 46 the brief questions to Evelyn and to Bill. Do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? We'll accept the I do. And do you believe in Jesus Christ? We won't need to do the entire answer. Okay. And do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Evelyn and Bill, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? And do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? Okay. Then we accept you today by transfer, by reaffirmation of faith. We'll have the benediction, and I'll shake your hand too. And we'll have the benediction. I have them stand with me. And I thought about this. Should I put this congregation on the line when it might fail utterly and say someone should take these folks out to lunch? Should I say that because it might not work and then we'd look unwelcoming and inhospitable? I'm going to risk it. Someone should take them out to lunch. As a group or individually or severally. I hope that works out. You have plans for lunch? You have plans for lunch?
Not exactly.
Okay, then we'll see. Receive this blessing. Lord, help us understand the great nature of your love as we understand you as Father and us as your children. Help us understand our need and the great gift you have given us as Savior in Jesus Christ. And help us understand the presence that you have among us as wisdom, as guidance, as power through the Holy Spirit. We have been blessed. Help us to be a blessing in your name. Amen.